Each Sunday, we're presented with scripture readings. And in our readings today, there's actually a history to that. But before I share that with you, each Sunday, we are presented with readings. And the readings that we have on Sundays in the Episcopal tradition are taken from the Revised Common Lectionary. In other words, we don't decide each Sunday what readings we want to hear, but we go to this lectionary that presents readings to us that I like to suggest we need to hear. The goal of those readings oftentimes is that there's some sort of common theme or some kind of connection between the first reading, oftentimes, and the gospel. Sometimes that common idea or theme is obvious. Sometimes it's a little bit more mysterious. But there's usually something there that is connected. And that second reading that we read, which today is from the book of Corinthians, oftentimes can stand on its own, or it may be we're reading that letter for a few weeks. So there's different ways that these readings flow together. But I want to share with you today is as I engage with these readings this past week, all three of them just have a message for us. At least it had a message for me. Let me put it that way. And I'd like to share with you what it is I heard in these readings that we just heard read. The first reading is from the book of Nehemiah, and it's this wonderful reading. I want to just kind of do a little teaching on this reading. What we're hearing is Ezra is asked to read the book of the law, what we'd know as the Torah or the Pentateuch. He's the first five books of the Bible. And it's interesting that it's emphasized that he's reading these readings at the water gate. At the water gate. That was a place where everyone could be gathered. These readings were not being proclaimed from the inner sanctum of the temple. The temple in Jerusalem had many areas, without going into all the details, from the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could enter only once a year, to other areas where certain folks could gather. But he's reading this not from those places, but the water gate, which is where everyone could be gathering. And what Ezra is doing is being asked to read, in many ways, the story of this people to whom it's being read. To be reminded that in those times, people did not they didn't have access to books. Many could not read. And so the proclaiming of the stories, which in many ways were first oral stories, stories that were told and people would have known, eventually they were written down. And to hold on to those stories, they needed to be proclaimed. And we hear in this first reading from Nehemiah, Ezra reads, don't miss that fact there, he's reading on the first day of the seventh month. It's very specific, which would eventually become in the Jewish tradition what we now know as Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. But he says it's being read on that day, and he reads it from early morning until midday. That's a lot of reading. That's a lot of listening. The story is a comprehensive and long one, and we need to hear it. And also in this reading, there's also added interpretation and explanation from a teaching of what these stories are about. So there was this wholeness to it. You know, eventually the role of the rabbi became the one who would interpret the books and tell of these stories, what they could mean to us. So there's a lot going on in that first reading. The word is being proclaimed. And that became a tradition in the Jewish tradition. It was always a tradition of reading the scriptures and the sacredness of those scriptures. If you ever go to a Jewish synagogue, you will find a place where the scrolls of the scriptures are held. They're usually in a very sacred place and honored because it contains that story that we need to know. Then jump with me to the gospel, where Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's asked to read from the scriptures. So in the time of Jesus, that was a practice of reading the scriptures, proclaiming the scriptures. And I find it interesting that Jesus reads from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And listen to what, so think of Ezra reading from early morning to midday, telling the story. Jesus simply says, you can almost count this by seconds. Jesus says, the Spirit reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the prophet Isaiah saying that. And Jesus reads that. And the drama of he rolls it up, gives it back to the attendant, who I imagine places it back in that sacred place within the synagogue. And they were all looking to Jesus to say something. And what does Jesus simply say? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. There is a power to that phrase. I see that as Jesus proclaiming the stories that we've shared, the stories of the Pentateuch, the stories of the prophets, the stories of wisdom, the stories of history of our people. All that was being told to lead to something. And what Jesus is basically proclaiming is, I am that. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to be the fulfillment of it. And we move from this incredible experience of just the narrative and the words to Jesus being the incarnate one, what we celebrated at Christmas, Jesus coming among us and being that, and being present to us in that. And Jesus now calls us to follow him, to be disciples, to enter into this journey, this faith that we walk together. And we become part of this journey. We become part of who Jesus is. And then we move to Paul, that second reading. Paul writes many, many years later, maybe 20, 30 years later after Christ, and he gives us this wondrous image, which we've heard many times, of the body of Christ. We who follow this incarnate one, the Christ, we are the body of Christ. We are part of this whole. No one of us is able to be the whole body, but each of us has a part of the body, and the body needs all the parts. You hear that? The body needs all the parts. We are that body. What a rich teaching this is from Paul. This reading from Corinthians is filled with such richness. But I sometimes wonder, in the times we live, that we may resist. There's some in our society, in our world, who want to resist being part of something whole, something bigger, but want to be just what they are, who they are. There are arms who feel we're the arms, we don't need the feet. We don't need to hear what the feet have to say. We don't need to even walk with the feet for a while. Or we are the ears, and we don't need the eyes. We don't need that. And what Paul is saying, we can't, that's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is being part of this whole. This past week I was, it's a custom of mine to read the New York Times each morning. And the other morning, as I was thinking about these readings, there was an article in the New York Times written by John McWhorter, who is a linguist. He teaches at Columbia University. And he was writing an article. He occasionally writes articles. Linguists are folks who kind of study language, study words, study their history, their meaning, their etymology. And he wrote something in this article. It's not the article that I want to share with you, but a quote from this article, which just jumped off the page at me when I heard this. He was writing about some studies that had been done. And he says, in a parallel development, meaning in a parallel development to these other studies he's talking about, which we don't need to engage with today, but in the parallel development, the authors show that the use of the plural pronouns, such as we and they, has dropped somewhat since 1980, while the use of singular pronouns has gone up. They see this as evidence that more of us are about ourselves and how we feel as individuals, the subjective, than having the more collective orientation than earlier English seemed to reflect. I hear that saying that we've moved in our culture, in our society, in our world, in our nation, that the words us, our, we, is not as common as me, mine, our. There's a rise in that. Now, that's John McWhorter's quote. This is me talking. I heard that so powerfully as not what the body of Christ is about. The body of Christ is being part of. The body of Christ is being we, us, ours, and somehow living that into our world. Our society needs this deeply. Our country needs this deeply. We live in a time where we expect everyone to be like me. If you want to come to agreement, be like me. I don't have need of your hand. I don't have need of your voice. I don't have need of your ears or your insights or your views or your ideas. Jesus calls us into relationship. Jesus calls us into discipleship. Jesus calls us to be followers in a community and living into that community. And that community is less when your gifts are not part of it. And your life, I think, is less when you can't be connected to the body, connected to the community, connected to who we are as a people. So we gather here today, continuing what Ezra did, continuing what Jesus did. We gather each Sunday, and Claudia was our Ezra today. Claudia read those readings. Candy read the gospel. We still have Ezras who read and proclaim our story and remind us who we are. And there's some of us in the community challenged to be the rabbis, to interpret and share and ideas about what these can mean for us. And then we as a community with our various gifts and talents and skills who make up this community come together to be fed, to be nourished, and to go forth. But before we go forth, we don't just hear the word. We gather to receive the body of Christ. I think it's St. Augustine who said, we become what we eat. And so today we hear the word proclaimed, we hear our story, and we come to receive the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, in the body of Christ. And so when you come to communion today, as it's said to you, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, take that Eucharist, take that presence, and may we be present to each other, realizing that we are the body of Christ. We are what we eat.